Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Matt now really worried that the Yankees have to play a legitimate team this weekend. You have not fared well against the legitimate teams.
Yeah, I need to see a good showing this weekend.
We'll check the scores. I probably won't watch any games. All right, so you hate me for that.
Actually, I'm going on vacation next week, so I'm probably not going to see a whole lot myself.
Tough. You'll blow off everybody to watch that big Yankee game against the Guardians or whatever it is. So,
well, actually, everything times out next week, so we're leaving tomorrow, come back Friday night, just in time for Eagles preseason game number one.
You're not going to watch that, are you?
I always do.
Why?
Because it's Eagles football and pretty much that. But I'm in the minority. I've come to like the preseason, sort of, because I just like the storylines of some of the guys trying to make it, because I've been around a lot of small school guys that have tried to make it that have, so I just like following guys trying to battle for roster spots and things like that. But I'm in the very minority category for that. So I don't mind the preseason as much. But yeah, it can be hard to watch. Last night was hard to watch. I acknowledge that.
I did watch two series last night.
Yeah, I'd say I watched a few series total myself, mostly in the first quarter.
I watched two. Right? I saw Litton play at Oregon State. I had my fill. Look, it's not supposed to, like, it's the preseason. You're really going to watch a preseason game?
Oh, yeah. I've been to a couple live ones myself.
What do you get out of this?
Football. And the roster battles. That's about it.
Roster battles? The roster battles are 35 through 45.
Yeah. You're rooting for those guys. As training camp goes along, you get to know some of their stories, and you root for them. Again, not a lot of people do this, but I do.
Oh, my goodness. This is just so sad. Sure. Have a good time. All right. You hate my attitude.
You are a party pooper sometimes, but I get it in this case.
I think I'm pretty reasonable about the whole thing. I think over the years I've discovered that nothing happens. It doesn't mean anything if you win or lose. I mean, do you know what the Colts' record was with Peyton Manning at quarterback in the preseason?
Yeah, I know it wasn't good. I know they went 0-4 a lot, actually.
4-28.
There you go.
And in the end, it turned out pretty well. And you're watching. The NFL preseason. Now, look, it is football. So that's why I watched two series last night. It's football. I think Dan Patrick had it exactly right in his commentary. It's not supposed to be anything except to tell everybody, like, hey, good news, we've got football. Right? That's all it's supposed to be. And, yeah. And that's all it's supposed to be. You take it seriously. That's where it becomes frightening to me.
Somewhat seriously.
You take everything seriously.
I only got nuts one time while watching a preseason game. One time, and then I vowed to myself it would never happen again. And that was several years ago.
And the incident was?
I forget exactly, but the Eagles were kept. The Eagles' defense was giving up big runs.
Do we need to bring your father or Lisa into this conversation?
No. My dad was kind of watching with me at the time. My dad hates the preseason, but he still watched the games with me, just to humor me.
Well, it sounds like this show.
I'll have to tell him that. He'd probably agree.
Hey, yay.
Why do you think I'm taking him to Tommy and me to meet Ray Diddy in a couple weeks?
Yeah, but that's
to pay him back for all the times he put up with me.
Right, what do I get? All right, I'm having fun at your expense here. Oh, goodness gracious. Preseason football. Now, see, I'll go to training camp today. I went to basketball practice yesterday. It was the last basketball practice for the summer. Now they're going to get a break. They're going to go. Everybody get a chance to go on vacation, do something. But I have a pretty good feeling right now about where they are, which is good.
Certainly seems that way from everything that I've seen.
Well, but I mean, I was there at, I think, like three of the last four practices I was at. And like, and when I mean there, I mean, I was like didn't just show up for 5 minutes. I mean, I was there for like the full 2 hours. Monday, full 2 hours. Yesterday, before that, same thing. I have a pretty good, and then I had a long conversation with Micah. I'd say the two of us probably sat there for at least a half hour on Monday. Just the two of us. Chit-chatting about various items. Plus, I saw him the week before, too. So I've got a pretty good feel about where he thinks they are. I have a pretty good feel about where I think they are, which is pretty close to what Micah thinks anyway. So that helps. And then, obviously, then football was off yesterday. You know, football went Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. If you're wondering, like, well, how come they're not going every day? They're still in class. Finals are a week from today for summer session. So because they're in class, it is mandated they have to have a day off. So they went three, day off yesterday, three, day off Monday, then practice the rest of the week. Then they'll have that time between the end of finals and the end of that week. So it'd be from, what, the 13th through the 20th, where there's no classes. Or the 20th, there's no class. They got move-in day, obviously. But they have no classes until the 22nd, which is a Monday. And they're going to get, I mean, they're getting a lot of work done now, but they're really going to get a lot of the heavy work done then. And then you start tapering to get ready for the season. You know, I take everything, I will evaluate everything on a day-by-day basis internally, but I also then take stock at the end of the week about where I think everything is. Try not to let yesterday determine how I feel about the whole week. And I'm talking about individual stuff. About where they stand, where I think the depth chart might be, what I'm seeing out there. And I think that I think that's important. Meanwhile, Matt's panicking over the 10 minutes ago in the third quarter of an Eagles preseason game.
By the way, I don't know if you were at that particular practice or not, but Micah Shrewsbury benching 20, epic.
Yes, I know.
At the final 6 a.m. practice.
Yes, I know. Yes. Aware. Aware. I'm going to read you something after the break that I'm going to read to my class. And it's really important about my profession. But, yeah, let's... And I also want to get into... I'll get into the TV thing again for the umpteenth time. It's going to be probably in a couple weeks we'll know. Probably in a couple weeks we'll know what the whole thing is. But... You know what? How I feel about the next expansion, right? Unless it's Notre Dame, it's not happening. Right? The rides, I mean, I realize right now the rides are open at Fantasyland, but it's not, it, to me, it's not happening. It doesn't make any economic sense at all. It's got to be somebody that enhances the number for each member institution currently there. It can't dilute it. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. Come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Mark Wicker is a great writer. Great writer. Was with the Orange County Register for a long time. He wrote about Vin Scully. And this is something where I'm going to read this to my broadcasting class on day one, at least in the last few classes I have remaining. And they asked him one night if he had ever gone back to Ebbets Field. And Scully shook his head. He said, "I really haven't gone by there since we left," which was 1957. And that was essential because Vin Scully was not a guy that looked back a lot. He was always looking forward. And that's what I want to tell them. History, always keep in mind, but don't be always so nostalgic about it because you've got to do the next game. He says, Scully thrived precisely because he never went back to Ebbets Field. His most important day was his next one. He was surprisingly unmoved when the Dodgers abandoned Vero Beach for a cheerless foundry in Arizona. He was not a nostalgic, never a yesterday man, even though he would lament that you never see a good musical anymore like South Pacific. Every morning during the season, he would hunt for clippings, anecdotes about ballplayers on both sides that no one else could find, and he did it all by himself, the way the same way he did the games. See, I can relate to this so much because when I do my preparation, like I do my preparation, and I'm alone as I do it, despite the 18 texts from the suit.
Get the lingerie on the deck, call the janitor.
Next part. This is not to say that Scully was enamored with 21st century baseball. He pointedly avoided the analytical debris that paralyzes the modern announcer. Bravo. The fact that Justin Turner might have sent a 98-mile-per-hour fastball screaming with a 106-mile-per-hour exit velocity, and that his double might have been a home run in 16 other parks, did not interest him. I can frankly tell you it does not interest me. You want to know why? Other than the fact you think I'm a party pooper. Right, Matt? You think I'm a party pooper.
In some cases, yes. But I get where you're going here.
Right. In other words, he doubled. That's the play. So now he's on second. How do you get him home? He hit a home run. Does it matter that it went out at 98 miles an hour or 110? It counts as a run. It doesn't matter if that double would have been a home run in 16 other parks. You're playing in this park. It's a double. And who knows what the wind was going to be like in that other park? You don't know. Having seen everything Koufax, Drysdale, and Hershiser did, he had trouble disguising his amusement over the pitch-counted starter who leaves in the fifth inning. He also had problems with the nine-inning calliope that gradually replaced the buzz of the crowd. When Scully did the World Series games for NBC, he didn't have to adjust to neutrality. During Dodger games, he was very charitable to the opposing team, celebrated their accomplishments as he would the Dodgers, and allowed the umpires to umpire. Bravo. I've actually had people say to me, on that catch that guy made, you sounded excited. It was a great catch. I know it's not Penn State, but great is great, isn't it? And you don't referee the game on the radio. You don't umpire the game on the radio. Oh, every once in a while you go, I'm not so sure. But the only time I get into the, officiating part of it is then when they go to replay, then I've got to take a look at it and make a judgment. I mean, this is exactly, reading this, you feel like in some ways you're doing some things right yourself. And the other part is, and Matt, I want you to remember this, of all this, Vince Scully always sounded when he was doing a broadcast, and this is important, like he had a smile on his face.
Absolutely.
It makes everything come out as if you're in the greatest place on earth. Why don't you join me? Vince never once said he saw what I saw. Okay.
No, I don't believe he ever said that.
Who would?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar. led by the barrels of the Dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend now. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf online. SunburyMotors.com. The only way that we can take Matt's attention away from the nerve-wracking experience of watching the Yankees not win games against teams over 500 is to distract him with football. So with that, we bring in Tom Hanifin to join us. Tommy, how you been?
Thank you very much. It's a pleasant walk down memory lane every time we connect here. I always learn so much. I seem to be right after the This Day in History segment. So I'm fascinated. Keep going.
Yeah. It's always a lot of fun to look back. All right, Tom, let's get to Penn State football because they're in camp. Today's day three of camp. They'll get an off day tomorrow. So what, in your opinion, needs to be accomplished between now and August 31st when they get on the plane to Lafayette?
They got to figure out who their concrete starting five is at offensive line. I think, Steve, you and I have a pretty good idea of what that rotation is going to be. The name of the game for the offseason is just be don't get anybody hurt. And I imagine that's probably going to continue to be the case through August. So priority one is find out who those five guys are and then make sure that they are put in bubble wrap until we head to West Lafayette for the game against Purdue, because it's the oldest cliche about football, Steve, but it's 100% true regarding the 2022 Nittany Lions football season, is that this team goes the way the offensive line goes. Sean Clifford goes the way the offensive line goes. Nothing happens without continuity at that position.
And I've also found it interesting that James Franklin and all of us around it have taken really the same approach. He's not going to talk about him. I'm not going to say, hey, they have a chance to be this. He's just, I think he's going to just, we're all going to find out together what we think, even though as the preseason goes, anybody around it will have their opinion about how good they're going to be. I think he's just going to let it play out and we'll see for ourselves.
I agree, and Steve, you know James better than I do. He's very particular about what he says and does not say in the media, specifically about his players. If he's going to blow sunshine up some guy's backside, he's doing it for a reason, or maybe he's trying to motivate and inspire. We've talked to plenty of guys on my show, Pater, the Penn State football show, which is on ESPN Radio State College tomorrow afternoon, that there's plenty of guys who can attest to, yep, that's just something James Franklin does. He will use the media for those instances. So I think he just wants to let these guys marinate through the month of August and then come out firing against the Boilermakers. So I really hope that some of the additions, both young and veteran additions from the transfer portal, do the trick. And then I was really impressed with guys like Landon Tengwall last season. Yep. I think we have a really big chance to make a jump. Deuce Scruggs has been on a lot of award watch lists, which I think, if you told us that last year, was quite surprising. So I think Juice has a chance, and there's a lot of guys that are going to be able to rotate in and hopefully help spark things for this offense altogether.
You lose a guy to the draft, and he was here 4 years, in Jahan Dotson. Parker Washington, Malik Mega, Keandre Lambert-Smith, but they added in Mitchell Tinsley, and you had a chance, obviously, to see him in the blue-white game. How much help can he give him?
I love Mitchell Tinsley. I'm really excited about Mitchell Tinsley. Everything since he's arrived on campus has been overwhelmingly positive from the coaching staff and his fellow players. First of all, losing Jahan Dotson, yeah, that is huge. I'm of the mind that Parker Washington steps right into the spot that Jahan Dotson had, and Penn State doesn't miss a beat at wide receiver. I think that much of Parker Washington. I think he is probably more of your traditional slot wide receiver, but we know Mike Yurcich, the offensive coordinator, is going to get creative with where he lines these guys up, whether it be split end, whether it's going to be the backside of the formation in the slot. You never know. I think Mitchell Tinsley is really going to be a nice addition because it's just going to make things complicated for defenses. I think we can agree that Keandre Lambert-Smith and Malik Mega are probably going to be the three and the four. It's just going to create a lot of mismatches. Mitchell Tinsley was very used to being a volume wide receiver at Western Kentucky. Now, everybody's going to say, but it was Western Kentucky. I get that. With this stage in the Big Ten, I think you're going to see this guy really fit in nicely, and dare I say it's going to be a transfer that it goes as smoothly as Arnold Ebiketie from Temple to Penn State. I think that much of Tinsley.
Well, since you referenced Arnold Ebiketie, let's go to the defense. How good can that group be?
I think there's a potential to be a very solid team within the Big Ten. I don't believe you're going to see the same ability that you saw overall from the defense last year. I think there's a lot of pieces that went to the National Football League that you're going to miss. Ebiketie, Jaquan Brisker, the list goes on and on. Losing Brent Pry is not a gigantic blow because, yes, you did replace him with Manny Diaz, the former head coach from the University of Miami, Florida. So that feels good. Manny Diaz is a very similar type of personality to what Brent Pry was. There was that continuity within Franklin's regime and known Pry for a long time. And you're going to see some differences. There's been a lot of talk about they're going to be blitzing more. There's going to be three safety looks. I mentioned Brisker. Brisker is – I don't think people realize how darn good Jaquan Brisker was at Penn State. The fact that it will probably take three different safeties and four different players, really, to replace everything that he was doing. Now, some of that is scheme. But it's not too often you see a guy leave and then all of a sudden you need someone who can cover, someone who can play center field, and then somebody who can also step into the box and play that linebacker position, because Brisker was doing that pretty much on his own, which is astonishing. I think, Steve, I'm really excited about the defensive line because there's probably 8 to 12 guys who have a chance to make an impact. And we'll see who lines up as the starters. I think we all have a pretty good idea of who that's going to be. But I'm really excited about the depth at that position. And it's so many guys of, hey, we've been waiting a long time to see people like Beeman, Isaac, the list goes on and on, and guys that, oh, now it's your chance. Kozia Izzard, Devon Ellis, now is your chance. And are you going to take full advantage of that opportunity?
Yeah, and you talk about safety. By the way, the people in Chicago are finding out how good Brisker is. He's getting nothing but rave reviews in the Bears camp. Which brings to the guy from Lackawanna that is still here, and that is Jair Brown, who led the nation in interceptions last year with 6. Your thoughts on him?
I love Jair Brown. I mean, what's not to like? I think him taking a larger role in terms of leadership, not to say that he wasn't a leader on last year's team, but as we mentioned, it was Jaquan Brisker. Ellis Brooks at linebacker was a tremendous leader for this defense. Plus, you add in the impact of Ebiketie. This is just going to be a different team. You're going to be leaning more on Joey Porter Jr. Of course, P.J. Mustafa is going to be there as he's rehabbing from injury. All signs point to Mustafa being good to go here in the early parts of the season. But Jair Brown is outstanding, and I think he's added a little bit of weight. Everybody said that during winter workouts, he was putting on a little bit more muscle mass, trying to get to the point that Jaquan Brisker was contributing in multiple facets, like I just said. I think Jair Brown, is he going to put up the same amount of interceptions that he did last year? I don't think so, but I think you're still going to see his skill set. It's just going to branch out. There's so much more that he's going to be able to do, and especially, Steve, like we just talked about, if there's three safeties, you feel a lot better knowing Jair Brown is anchoring that position and has got the back end of the defense for you.
Who are the young players you're looking at on either side of the ball?
I love Jordan Vandenberg. Give me Jordan Vandenberg more and more often. 6'3", 291 pounds out of Johannesburg, South Africa. Transfer from Iowa Western. I loved what limited action I saw of him last season, and especially in the Outback Bowl. On Pay Dirt, Penn State football show, the podcast there today, and it'll be on ESPN Radio State College tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern. We had Brandon Noble on the show, a star from the 1990s, the 94 undefeated season, the 96 season, and his adage is, low man wins. Well, Vandenberg, 6'3", maybe not the greatest height in terms of a defensive tackle that was ever created, but he is powerful. I am very, very excited to see what he can do. And then on the offensive side of the ball, Steve, I really want to see what Nick Singleton's all about. I think Nick Singleton has got a ton of hype. Everything through campus sounded positive. Everything since he's arrived on campus earlier this year has been outstanding. The hype is there, 5-star recruit, et cetera. But it hinges on the offensive line. Is he going to be able to have the space to to be a game changer like a lot of people think he will. So I think that's an easy thing to look at Singleton, but if he hits, that is a big deal for this offense.
What do you think? How anxious are you to see tonight Dennis Sutton play?
I'm really interested. See, you and I talked about him the last time I was on the show, is that, you know, he's getting in later in the year. He had suffered a season-ending injury his senior year of high school. So he's coming off of that, but he's definitely somebody that, based on all the analytics and the expert recruiters, going to have a chance to maybe contribute right away. The same thing with Zane Durant at defensive tackle. There's some really exciting prospects along the defensive line. They're going to need somebody to step up at defensive end with Ebiketie leaving. Was one of the best in the Big Ten last season at that position, alongside guys like Ajabo and Aiden Hutchinson, who were pretty high in the NFL draft. So I need to see some production at defensive end. It's why they went into the portal and got Chop Robinson from Maryland.
Yeah.
Defensive end is absolutely going to be a focal point, because you feel pretty good, I think, about defensive tackle, of course, with Mustafa, and then who's that second guy that solidifies the spot. But Penn State has got to get a pass rush, because disrespect to anybody else at the universal world. If you can get a little bit more production from that position for multiple guys, you're really happy. I think Denijah Sutton could be one burst out.
Well, you get more pressure up front. We talked about Brown getting 6 interceptions. You might get more picks because of pressure.
Absolutely. And listen, I think in terms of playing in the secondary and getting picks, I think Joey Porter Jr. puts it all together this season. We can see the raw ability that he has. Aquan Hardy out there in the secondary is not to be underestimated
right.
at all. I think those guys are future high NFL draft picks. But Joey Porter Jr., we looked at last season, issues at the point of contact, drawing flags at the wrong time, maybe getting a little bit lost here and there in coverage. I really am curious to see if he locks down that number one corner position that Tariq Castro Fields, I think you could point to, was last season. So there's a lot of guys in the secondary that are going to have a chance to eat. It's just who does it?
Yeah. Special teams will be important. I mean, Jordan Stout kicked off last year. He kicked field goals, and he punted. So the special teams part, in your opinion, especially now with Stacy Collins in charge?
I like Stacy Collins so far, coming over from Boise State. I think that's a really exciting addition. Listen, I'm really excited to see Jake Pinniger be the guy as the kicker. I've said it multiple times on Pater, and it's no disrespect to Jordan Stout. Jordan Stout is a great punter. I can think we can all say reasonably was not a great kicker, kicking somewhere in the mid-60% conversion rate for his field goal attempts. I want to see Jake Pinniger step up and solidify that position, because it's been a challenge for a little while. So I think Pinniger is going to be the guy. And meanwhile, what's the name of the punter? It's Gabriel Owosu.
Yeah.
One of the largest punters I've ever seen.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Just for your size, I can't wait to see him get out there, if he gets the chance to be the guy at punter. But there's definitely going to be some competition with Pinniger, Amor, Bichetta, and Owosu, I really like.
To his credit, he slimmed down. Okay.
Looks good.
No, the conditioning program, yeah, it was a lot slimmer, trimmer game in the spring, and then even more so the guy I've seen this week. So that's great for him. How do you view the Big Ten with the upcoming season?
I think, obviously, Ohio State is going to be there. There's no question. I think Michigan is going to be talented. I'm curious to see where J.J. McCarthy goes with this. I think that's a really interesting change for Michigan, as we talked about a little while ago. Hutchinson and Ojabo going to the NFL. That was a huge part of what made Michigan so good last year, is they could run the football and they could get after the quarterback, to the most basic things in football. So if they can replace those positions, they have a chance to continue to be there. Mel Tucker has got Michigan State on the right path. You talked about Purdue. I don't know who walks out of that week one with a win, Penn State or Purdue. Seriously, that's kind of a pick 'em to me. I think Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota are all going to be competitive. I definitely want to keep an eye on Minnesota this year. But listen, Penn State's got their work cut out for them. I don't think there's any game on the schedule that is a slam dunk necessarily. There are definitely those games in September where they're out of conference. And yes, those are ones that you can pretty much put as a lock in the win column. But when it comes to Big Ten play, I mean, I was in the crowd when this team lost to Illinois in 9 overtimes. Nothing is given this season. So I am curious to see how Penn State does.
Yeah, I was a witness to that, too. All right.
It was rough.
Yeah. All right, Tom, the show's great with you and Matt. It's phenomenal. And appreciate everything you do for us.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thanks for having me on the show. Enjoy the upcoming season.
Tom Hannafin joining us on the show today. All right. In fact, I saw his partner in crime, Matt McGloin, last night. Talked to him for a bit. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Matt's been pacing the entire time because the Cardinals are actually good. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Mike in Lansdale. Hi, Mike. How have you been?
Hi, how are you, Steve? Can you hear
me? I'm doing well, Mike. Yes, I can. Hi. I'm doing well, Mike. Thank you.
I was wondering if you saw or heard of anything from practice that would make you believe that anybody from offense and defense might be a surprise this year as far as contributing to the team this year, this fall.
I think, let's see, so far, I think the guy... At this point, you're trying to see which freshmen are going to break through. I'm trying to determine in my own mind how many linemen might play on defense, who's going to be the backup linebackers, things like that. I would have a better read and handle on that, Mike, probably by the end of next week. Because now they're doing a lot of installs right now.
Okay.
So you're doing installs, and then finally they'll get to some full pads next week, and I can get a better read on it then probably.
Okay, it's fair enough. And question about Akeem Beamon.
Yep.
Going to be nice to have him back. I like his quickness. Do you think he brings enough physicality to hold up against a Big Ten line?
Yeah.
I mean, I realize with the depth, he's not going to have to play every down. But do you think he's going to be against the run? I know he has the quickness, but
Mike, he's going to be a really good player for this team. I feel like they missed him last year. And he's off to a great start in camp this year. And like you said, he doesn't have to play 70 plays. But this guy, what's going to make him good against the run is the same thing that would make him good against the pass. He's quick. Because he's quick, you can't get a real legit shot at him, and he can get into a gap and make a play.
Okay, thank you. Have a nice weekend.
You too. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, I mean, it's... They're only 3 practices in. So I think it needs to be a greater body of work before we really start breaking everything down. And Matt won't break anything down. He's on vacation next week. He'll have no worries. The Yankees will lose 8 in a row. But he'll be there for that Eagles preseason game, which, just so you know, doesn't count.